You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's series five, episode two tonight. Kieran Burke, Gary Riley, and John Breyer, your co-hosts again this evening. And we've got a lot to get through. We're going to look back at the President's Cup, a win for Dundalk on penalties, but there was plenty to break down and talk about from that game on Friday night at Tallaght Stadium. And of course, we'll look ahead to this weekend's opening fixtures in the Premier Division, Drogheda against Waterford, Rovers, Pats, Hearts, Bow, Sligo, Dundalk, Longford, Derry, and we've got interviews with Dane Massey and Dean Byrne as well. Gary and John, how's things this evening, lads?
Yeah, not too bad. Doing well. Good to be here. It was a very quick week after our first episode last week. Good to be back.
John, yeah. How's life your end?
Not too bad. Tough day at work today. It's always the same when you've got a bank holiday in the next day. But yeah, delighted. And I think the anticipation's growing, isn't it? They start, everybody's team's kicking off this weekend, and you'll either be happy at the end of it or crying and dreading the rest of the season.
Yeah, I have to say I've had a hard day myself now with the feet up and tweeting about Cheltenham and putting on a few bets. So I feel your pain, John. I really do.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
But Gary, we'll start with the President's Cup. As I said, we've got great interviews to come with Dane Massey and Dean Byrne, but a lot to get through from this President's Cup game, aside from the results, because I thought it was a really, really interesting encounter. I think it's fair to say that Shamrock Rovers started the game very, very well in the first half, and one player that really caught my eye was McCann in midfield. I thought he was absolutely fantastic, and he could be a big, big player for Shamrock Rovers this year. Lots of experience in England, as we know. He had a good career with Burnley. But then in the second, obviously Dundalk got the goal just before halftime. I thought they were growing into it, starting to play some nice football just before the halftime. I thought Chris Shields again was absolutely magnificent in the middle of the park. They get their goal through big Sonny Nathestad, and I think he looks like a player, Gary, that's probably very capable of getting six or seven goals a season from the back. He's a big, big man in the air, and he didn't even have to leave the ground for that header. We'll start with that opening goal. Again, as I said, Nathestad, he could be the new Brian Gartland in that team, really, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could. As we talked about on the podcast last season, like Gartland, how much time does he have left in him? Do you know what I mean? So this Sonny chap seems to be, you know, it's only one game that we've really seen him put a stamp on the game. So, like, I think it was a good goal for him. A good way to start his Dundalk career. So, and it put Dundalk on the front foot, but look, I think it's too early to tell. Like, you know, are we going to really be comparing someone to the like of Brian Gartland after one game? I don't really think so.
No,
so.
But the point I was making is there was a, I think it was the 2015 season, maybe, am I right, saying Gartland, he was getting 6, 7, 8 goals a season from the back. He was a big attacking threat in the team as well. He's been a very good defender. And Sonny, with the physical presence he brings to the team, that's definitely something he can bring to Dundalk this season.
Oh, it certainly is. But like, you have a big centre back like the like of Gartland. He needs to be getting 6 or 8 goals a season. Mm-hmm. With the pressure that Dundalk are going to be, are going to be putting on teams, they're going to be creating a lot of corners, a lot of free kicks, a lot of stuff around the opposition box. So the like of Gartland needs to be getting on the end of that stuff. So I wouldn't be saying Gartland, geez, you're a great man for scoring 6 or 8 goals. That's what he should be getting, because the way that Dundalk play, they're going to be imposing themselves on teams. So you'd be expecting 6 or 8 goals from Gartland or the like of him each season.
Mm. And then, John, I'm sure you've seen that absolutely phenomenal goal from Liam Scales in the second half. I actually thought initially it was Rory Gaffney that got the goal. But Scales, aside from that goal, I thought he was absolutely brilliant. A real attacking threat out in that left wing-back position. And he could be someone that makes that position his own this year for Shamrock Rovers.
Well, yeah, I think we've seen the best of him, didn't we, at UCD in the past, Scales. And it's quite a step up, isn't it, for him? So it'll be interesting to see how he does this season, because he's probably not played as many games as he'd have liked. But obviously, you know, he has to have a bit of patience about getting into the team. But, yeah, I think he could well be a key player this season. Not so sure how many games he is going to start, but it'll be interesting to see if he does start on that left wing back position.
Going back of course, just to cut across you for a second, of course, the Scales would be better known as a centre half. So even when I seen the team sheets and seen him in that left wing back position, I was surprised, but he played really, really well, even aside from his goal.
Well, I think we know him as he's a big, solid centre defender. You know, he's quite comfortable with the ball at his feet, but you know, he won't be the most attacking of fullbacks or wing backs as such. But he gives he's going to solidify the defence if that's where they end up playing him. But just going back to Natterstar, I thought a decent debut, and you know, they did have the gap from Sean Hall leaving. So there has been question marks about that centre back and defence in general for Dundalk. So promising that he has a good debut.
Another player that really caught my eye, despite being on the losing side, I thought, Gary, Sean Gannon in the first half. There was a lot of talk last season among Dundalk fans. Obviously, when Filippo came in, he operated with Gannon more as a right wing back, even as a right midfielder at times. And a lot of people felt Gannon's best position was as a traditional right back, where he can survey the ground in front of him and pick his moments to get forward. But he got into some very, very attacking areas for Rovers, particularly early in the first half the last night. And even if Rovers can get 95% of what they got out of Gannon at Dundalk, then you can only imagine him improving that team massively this season.
Yeah, well, he's come in to replace Ronan Flynn. Played a good few games at right back last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So you're getting one of the top right backs in the league, no matter if he plays right wing back, right back, you know, or what, you know, position in that area he plays in. Ronan Flynn is going to be allowed to be further up the pitch in more of his natural position. So I thought Ronan Flynn did actually quite well for, you know, shows his versatility that he was able to slot in right back and did okay. Bear in mind they didn't lose a game last year, so fair play to him on that. But getting Sean Gannon in is going to be a huge boost for them. Solves a problem in two positions for them. So he's going to have a great season. I think he put the cross in for Scales equaliser, didn't he?
I can't actually recall that perfectly, but yeah, as
I
you
think
said,
it was him. Yeah, out on the far side of the video, I think he was out there and knocked it over. So, you know, look, he did all right. So, I think he'll be a big player for Shamrock Rovers this season. But I think the best thing about him is that he just takes care of that issue. So there won't be any concern for him.
I think, Kieran, it's just a big step up on whatever they had previously. You know, we're talking about using Ronan Flynn there as a makeshift right back. You bring the best fullback in the league, it's going to be a huge, huge increase in their production rate down that right wing. So I think whether or not he plays as part of a back four as a fullback, or whether he plays as a wing back, it's only going to be positive for Rovers. Really good signing. And allows Finn to play his normal position as well.
As I said, Scales got them back into the game, and then we had the sending off of Natterstad. All the pundits, all the commentators out there, so many of them, very few people have realised he was not sent off for the tackle. If you watch back the clip, you'll see the minute he makes the tackle, Natterstad, the referee has a yellow card in hand. The brawl then ensues. I think it's McCann that actually goes up and squares up to Natterstad. And if you look at it, albeit probably a harsh sending off, Natterstad appears to lean his head in towards McCann, and the referee has obviously taken that to be a headbutt of some sort, and he has then put the yellow card away and brandished the red card. So you can say it was harsh, or you can argue that maybe Natterstad shouldn't have got involved, but that's the reason clearly that he was sent off, and he'll have to await the outcome of a disciplinary here and now to hear whether he's going to be suspended for league action or not. But John, were you surprised Rovers didn't kick on from them? They had the extra man, they had all the possession, but they created very few chances in truth.
Well, I think we've talked about, you know, on this podcast many times about them not just having an out-and-out goal scorer. And, you know, I think we always end up going back to this, don't we? No matter who's up front, but, you know, maybe if they have, you know, the same firepower as Dundalk up front, then they win that match.
I have to say, I thought there was positive signs from Gaffney, and I put him up last week as a potential Golden Boot winner this year. Do you not think he can fire Rovers to what they need to do this year?
Don't think so. I didn't see enough of him last year from when he came in.
I think he was definitely getting his fitness back, though, when he came in last year. He looks a lot sharper to me. As I said, I saw enough positive signs from him the other night to suggest that he can definitely be one of the top marksmen in the league this year.
Yeah. I think he'll do well, whether or not he'll have the same kind of impact as the likes of certain other strikers, you know, like when Pat Hooban signed for Dundalk and the likes. But, you know, I think for me, the jury's still out. We'll have to wait and see on Gaffney.
Mm. What's your thoughts on that, Gary?
We didn't see a lot of him last year, as John just said. Like, I nearly forgot he was there for a lot of the time. You know, he was good in the first part of his career earlier on in the league and got his move across England. But I think, you know, players coming back over, some of the younger players have a point to prove. Maybe Roy Gaffney, he's towards the end of his career, but he also has a point to prove. Maybe he wants to show what he can do coming back over and taking his experience from being in England across into Premier Division here. So I'd say he'll get a good run. You know, we didn't see too much of him last year, so hopefully he'll be able to get his mark on it. I don't know if he's going to be the out-and-out goal scorer and, you know, 15, 20 goals a season man that Rovers are probably looking for. So I'm not sure if he'll solve that problem completely, but I think he'll chip in. But I think it's still a problem for Rovers that they don't have that fella. That it's like you look at him day one, that fella could definitely get 20 goals. So I don't really see that with Gaffney, but that's not to say that can't happen.
Yeah,
I've been wrong plenty of times in this podcast. So
I think they've got a lot of goals
probably nailed on.
I think they've got a lot of goals around the team. You know, you look at they're really spoiled going forward with the likes of Graham Burke, and you know, we talk about Gaffney, and you know, Aaron Green's always going. You know what you get with him, and they've got goals from midfield with the likes of Ferrugia, Watts. But for me, I'd like to see Dean Williams get a bit of a run for them. I think he's the capability to step up at this level. So, and he's done it before when he's been on loan. So I'd like to see him given a chance this season. I'd be interested to see what he could do.
Yeah, interesting points from both of you lads. While we're on the subject of goal scorer midfielders, one player that made his Rovers competitive debut was Danny Mandreou, and didn't exactly pull up any trees, Gary.
No, he didn't. With all the stuff that was going on last year, I know it was quite went under the radar, really. You know, Mandreou was there. Was he playing? Was he not? Is he injured? Is he not? With both, and then this was last summer that there was talk that he was heading over to Rovers and he wasn't really going to play much for both coming into the end of last season, and that proved to be the case. He didn't, you know, I don't know what, like, what you expect, like, what were people expecting from him?
You think it just might take him a bit of time to bed in and get back to those levels? Is that the point you're making?
Well, pretty much, yeah, probably doing a poor job of explaining it, but I think. You know, he was a main man for Bowes. He really had some great moments in a Bowes jersey, and now he's gone across to the dark side from Bowes, and now he has to probably has to reinvent himself, not as a footballer, but as a character in the team. So you know, he's a new player that came in from Bowes, so he has to, you know, put his own mark on that team, and I think that's just going to take a bit of time. He went from, you know,
being the main man to someone who's a number of stars in the team.
Yeah, pretty much. But also, like, you know, you're looking at the stature of the two teams. Rose fans say they're the biggest club. Rovers fans say they're the biggest club. You know, you're looking at they're selling biodegradable jerseys that Bowes are doing, and Rovers doing more stuff commercially. So I don't know. It's not just, you know, moving from one team to another. You know, from one side of the city to another. It's totally different ethos of the club, so there's a lot of stuff to deal with, and probably not just as simple as you might think. So, but I think also just from a pure football perspective, he has, you know, there's a lot of other fellas on that team that'd be up and around his level. Whereas you said he was probably the star of that Bowes team, so it'll probably just take a bit of time, and you know, sure, it could be a distant, this game could be a distant memory for him 3 or 4 games in, and he gets a few goals from midfield.
Yeah, certainly a player plenty of people will be keeping an eye on to see how he gets on. But we'll move on. Dundalk then managed to drag the game into extra time. They were quite well organised defensively, I have to say. And then up steps Abebe, a player we questioned last week on the show whether he was going to be up to the level of League of Ireland football, and particularly for a big club like Dundalk. But I actually thought, aside from some dodgy kicking, but we can probably put that down to the conditions, I actually thought, even aside from the shootout, Johnny, he had a very good game. And he's only a couple of weeks in the country. He's already picked up his first bit of silverware. It'll do huge benefits for his confidence.
Yeah, and I think he's bound to be feeling it, because obviously there's a lot of questions being asked about this very unknown goalkeeper that's been signed as Dundalk's first choice. And then obviously Cherry being brought in as well. So question marks, you know, whether or not he is the real deal. But, you know, that will have done him the world of good, you know, and the confidence from the penalty shootout. So promising, and that'll help him settle.
As I said, lads, I thought it was a really good game of football, particularly in the first half. The sending off probably spoiled it a little bit towards the end, as well as the conditions. But you could tell both teams, you know, it was a real fiery game, first of all, which was great to see. It was great to see some actual bite and some actual needle in essentially what is just a glorified friendly. But aside from that, you could see at the same time, both teams, I felt, were still playing within themselves a little bit. They were just holding back that little bit. So it really excites me for the season that's ahead. Has this result, Gary, changed your opinion at all that Dundalk might be able to match up with Shamrock Rovers this year?
Yeah, it has. I think I said last week that Rovers would certainly win it. The Dundalk definitely gave me some food for thought in that game. No, I didn't watch it live, to be honest. I watched it back. So what I was looking at, I was kind of trying to think of it, knowing the results, seeing what Dundalk were trying to do and what Rovers are trying to do. Definitely Dundalk seem to be a lot closer than I probably gave them credit last week. So I think, as you said, it definitely would excite me a bit more for the season upcoming.
And John, from your point of view, does this result do anything to change your predictions for the year?
I don't think so, Kieran. It really is a one-off, a pre-season match. And I think we talked about Mandrio there, you know, they'll probably... You know, once the likes of Andreas settles in, and you know, he will be a quality addition. We've seen, you know, in the previous few seasons what he's capable of. Then I still expect them to win by a bit of distance.
Yeah, as I said, I had a feeling both teams were just holding back that little bit towards the end. So personally, as I said, I was disappointed Rovers maybe didn't kick on with the extra man, but. When the likes of Andreu eventually come to form, and as I said, if we see a little bit more from Gaffney and players coming into the team that didn't play a lot last year, like O'Neill and Ferrugia and Watts, I think Rovers still probably have just a little bit too much for the rest of the league, so it wouldn't change my opinion. But I definitely think Dundalk will go a long way in this title race. So as I said, I'm really, really excited for the year that is ahead. And that brings us nicely to our first league preview of 2021. We'll start with the early kickoff on Friday night, 5:45 kickoff for this one. Drogheda against Waterford. We're going to hear from Dan Massey after this as well. And I think a lot of people are going to be expecting the Drogs to pick up an early 3 points here, despite the fact they're newly promoted into division, John.
Yeah, well, I've gone for a home win with this one as well, because I think they've recruited quite well. And, you know, we talked at Waterford, the new Cork this season. You know, I have to say I'd be a little bit worried for them. But I think Drogheda, with what they've brought in and, you know, the players they've got, I think they'll start the season off with a win with this one.
Obviously, we're not going to put too much stock into pre-season results, but Waterford, they scraped a 1-0 win against Wexford at the weekend, while Drogheda have put in some really encouraging displays against the likes of Dundalk recently. So, Gary, again, would you be in the camp of a home win here?
I definitely would. I actually picked Drogheda for last man standing that I'm doing with my good friend Max. So thank you, Max, for getting me involved in that. Well, I have faith in Drogheda that they'll try and come out of the blocks early, much like what Longford will need to do, of course. But I think with the way Waterford has their off season has been, and all the jibber jabber coming out of that camp, I think it'll be certainly within Drogheda's huge interest to start off strong, and not be too far behind the rest of the teams around them. So I think it's going to be a home win, certainly. I will say one thing, though. The result that they suffered a bad defeat against Bray there at the weekend, so that was a heavy enough 4-1 loss. So a bit of food for thought for Tim leading into it.
Yeah, I can hear the Waterford fans already. I was mentioning their win against Wexford, and I mentioned Drogheda's positive performances, but I skipped over their 4-1 defeat against Bray. But a couple of you, I'm sure a lot of you will have seen the footage we had online over the weekend. We had a really good League of Ireland fan Zoom call at the weekend, and Conor Hoey, the Drogheda chairman, was kind enough to come on and have a chat with us. And we asked him about that result, actually, and he pretty much put it down to the conditions on the day were just atrocious, and it wasn't a great day for a game of football. Now, look, I know people will say, "Of course he's going to say that." But he was very,
sure Bray had different weather, did they?
he was very positive about how the preseason has panned out overall. You remember, Gary? Though, remember last season, the very first game in the first division, Cabinteely beat Bray. I think they were 3 or 4 up at half time, and it was played in an absolutely hurricane like conditions, and we kind of put a line through that and said, you know, I'm sure Bray will be better, and they almost went on to win the title. So maybe this pre-season result was something similar, and we'll see a good year from Drogheda. But just my own conclusion on this one, I think I'd have to be in the camp of a home win. Look, we could say this about all the games. I think if there was a full stadium behind Drogheda, it'd be a very, very different prospect altogether. But I think the football Drogheda play, they'll get it down, they'll look to play some nice football, they'll try and get out of the blocks quickly, as you said there, lads, and I'd fancy them for a home win. We're going to play a new prediction game this year on the show, so we're going to see who's going to come out with the most correct predictions. It's 1 point for a correct result, and if you can get the correct scoreline, you'll get 3 points, and whoever comes out on top at the end of the year, then the other two men can buy them a case of beer or something along those lines. So I'll go with a Drogheda win here, and I'm going to go 2-1 Drogheda. John, what's your thoughts?
Who said about anything about a case of beer? I tell you what, you remember I'm from Yorkshire. You'll get a 4-pack of Harp if you win. That'll be the limit for it.
A 4-pack of Lynx is what you get off you, John.
2-1 Drogheda.
Okay, he's matching me. Gary?
1-0 Drogheda.
Okay, right. Let's move on to the first live televised game of the new season. Actually, before we do that, apologies, we're going to hear from the new arrival at Drogheda, one of the most high-profile signings of the transfer window. That's, of course, Dame Massey, who joins us now on the show. Now, I'm delighted to have on the line with me new signing at Drogheda United. That is, of course, Dane Massey. Dane, how are you doing?
How's things, Ken? Thanks a million for having me.
Almost had to double check my notes there for a second. Dame Massey of Drogheda, it just sounds a little bit strange. I think if we said that to Dundalk fans a couple of years ago, they probably would have been scratching their heads. But you're in at United Park, and how have you found the bedding in process?
Yeah, it's been amazing. You know, the group of players that Tim has there have been very welcoming, and to be honest with you, I really enjoyed it. So yeah, it's been great so far.
And you've already had the opportunity to play against your former club, Dundalk, and it was a really entertaining game a couple of weeks ago in the Malone Cup. Drogheda lost out by 2-3, but probably really positive signs, I think, from a Drogheda point of view, that you can mix it with the big boys this year.
Yeah, but first of all, it was very strange playing Dundalk, my old team that I'd spent 8 years with. But we were focused for the game. We were still trying a few things out. It was considered a pre-season friendly, really. We competed well. It was a good game. We had a few knocks as well. There's a couple of players out missing for us, and you could probably say the same for Dundalk. But yeah, it was a great game, good game to be involved in, and my competitive debut from my new club Drogheda. But it was fantastic. It was good to see the players in action that I've been training with for the last 6-7 weeks. So it was all good.
And physically, how are you feeling ahead of the new campaign? Because you had quite a bad injury last year. It took a long time to come back from that, a hip injury, if I remember correctly. How do you feel at the moment ahead of the new campaign?
Yeah, I feel great. Back to normal now. I think I was just unlucky with the timing on with the hip injury. I needed to have an op, and it was going to take me 8 weeks to recover. And I think they had to commit a Europa League squad before the first group stage game. And unfortunately, I wasn't in the squad, and I got back before the end of the group stages, back fit and flying. And unfortunately, I couldn't play a role in it.
Yeah, it must have been, obviously, you had the pleasure of playing in the group stages previously in 2016. What were fantastic nights for Dundalk Football Club. And you've lifted all the big trophies there are to lift in Irish football. But still, when an opportunity comes around to play at somewhere like the Emirates, it must have been a real kick in the teeth.
Yeah, it was mentally for myself, it was probably the hardest time I've ever gone through playing football. You know, I was very lucky, I've never had a bad injury, and it was just a time and a difference, really. And the lads qualified for the group stages, and I thought I could play a part in it, but no, look, I didn't know that the squad had to be announced before the first group stage game. But no, look, preparation-wise for the lads, I was still involved. I was able to help out preparing the starting 11 for games. So, look, I was still involved. I felt involved in it, which was great. On game days, I was thereabouts in the change room helping the lads out, and players that were playing in my position, I was only too happy to help.
You said it yourself there, you were really Mr. Consistent down the years for Dundalk, very rarely missed a game. But that was quite a bad injury you had last year, and I don't want to get myself in trouble, but you're getting to that stage of the career now where it's harder to come back from them injuries. The fact that you haven't had so many injuries down the years, did it make it that little bit easier to come back this time around?
Yeah, it was. Well, you were saying it's quite a bad injury. I think I was just unlucky with the COVID. You know, we did a pre-season and then COVID hit. We played 4 or 5 games and obviously the break happened. And then within 3 months later, we're doing another pre-season. So I think it was the difference in loads, doing a pre-season, then games, and then a break, and then another pre-season. It kind of killed me a little bit. So I think it was just a load on the muscles itself, which was probably why the injury happened. But no, look, Danny Miller and Dave Murphy were there, and apparently there was a couple of similar injuries in Leinster rugby, so all the physios were able to bounce off each other, and my rehab was quick. And to be honest with you, it wasn't too long out. It was probably 6 to 8 weeks, and then I was back on my feet, but I couldn't obviously participate in any of the games. But yeah, look, it was a hard one for myself to get over, and would never have been injured. I've been blessed, but no, look, I was grand towards the end.
Again, at the risk of getting myself in trouble here, you're one of the more experienced heads now in that draw at a change room, but there's plenty of experienced players that have gone in. Obviously, Tim Clancy keen to get some experience in now that the club has been promoted. Diddy Corcoran has come in, Gary Deegan's come in, and yourself as well, just to name a few. So there's plenty of experienced heads around the dressing room.
Yeah. Look, obviously, he had a young squad last year and they won the first division, and they done excellently. But I think this year he's brought in a few lads that have experience behind him, like myself and Gary Deegan and Ronan Murray as well is there. And I think he's got the mix right. We've a great change room. There's no real cliques. They're all willing, young and willing to learn, which is brilliant. And it's amazing to be involved in. You know, when I first was involved at Dundalk, you had the likes of Stephen O'Donnell there and Mark Rossiter. And they were a huge help to us and the young lads in the Dundalk change room. And I felt that was the difference. So it's kind of flip reverse now. I'm that senior head in this change room, and I feel that hopefully I can make an impact on these young players going forward for next season.
We had your chairman, Conor Hoey, on a fan Zoom call over the weekend. And one player he got very, very excited about was Ronan Murray. And obviously, you know Ronan well from Dundalk last year. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see the best of him at Oriel because of injuries. But from looking at him in training, and we've seen glimpses, we saw that free kick he scored against Dundalk, for example. He looks a seriously talented footballer.
Yeah, Ronan is an amazing professional. You know, he's his technique in the set pieces alone is going to be a huge asset for ourselves. But no, look, even his attitude towards training and around the young players is excellent. He's a good pro. He's a good head and shoulder. So, look, I feel this year we're going to get the best out of him. Probably the last 3 or 4 years he's had a tough with injuries. So he has his bit between his teeth now this year, and he wants to prove himself that he can still play this level, which there's no doubt he can. And he's been an excellent addition to our squad.
And Dara Markey's gone in there as well. That's another one Connor was getting quite excited about on the Zoom call at the weekend. And you'll be kind of lining up alongside him in the back line. Again, he looks like a very talented young footballer.
Dara Markey?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Dara Markey's excellent. You know, you can only see in training, you know, his low centre of gravity, and he's an excellent, excellent footballer. So yeah, look, we've exciting attacking players, and there's a few up and coming within the draw of the squad already, which I'm excited to see how they turn out for the year. But look, we've a good squad, we've a good mix, and I definitely think we'll be competitive this year.
Yeah, obviously you're a player that didn't have to pay too much attention to the first division in years gone by, but having gone into the squad, is there any players there at Drogheda that really stood out in pre-season training that have really surprised you? They've got a really good young goalkeeper that was on the books at Dundalk as well, Adam Musso, but obviously Lyons is up top there. He was very, very important for them in the first division years. So is there anyone that's really stood out in pre-season that maybe you weren't aware of, or someone you hadn't watched a lot in recent years?
Yeah, to be honest with you, Kieran, there's been a handful of players. You know, I've been really, really impressed. Well, I can't really name lads because they'll kill me to the training. But look, the few players that you named, and Lyons is obviously excellent, and he's done really well the last 2 years for Drogheda. But look, definitely there's going to be players in our squad this year that are going to light the Premier Division up this year, and you'll know the names at the end of the year. Like, we have young Killian, the centre midfielder. He's excellent. He has everything. So he's gonna come into our squad, and I'm sure he's gonna be a massive addition. And young Brandon Birmingham on the wing as well, another exciting winger. So yeah, look, there's plenty of lads there. I've only named two or three, but I'm telling you now, we're going to be competitive. These young lads are hungry to do well, and they're willing to learn, which is huge in the Premier Division.
Yeah, and if you listen to the so-called experts, and if you listen to shows like this one, people are very positive about Drogheda's chances this year. I said it on last week's show. I personally don't think Drogheda will be anywhere near the relegation places. I could see Drogheda been up towards the middle of the table. Do the players listen to that type of chat? We've already said there's a lot of experience heads in there. I'm sure when you were playing for Dundalk, you probably didn't listen to what was going on an awful lot, because you'd drive yourself silly if you were listening to pundits and experts all the time. Yeah. But what's the general mood in the Drogheda camp at the moment?
The mood, it's good. We're confident. Pre-season's gone really well for us. We're in a really good spot at the minute. The lads can't wait to get going. Tim has the group focused for Waterford on Friday, and I think that's essential now going forward. We're not looking at the long term, like where we've finished. We're just taking one game at a time, and I think that's all you can do. Especially with a squad like ourselves, we just got to take one game at a time, and we can't get that up. Like, you know, you have your Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers with huge budgets, and like the players from all over the country there. But with the likes of ourselves, we have a smaller squad, and we're going to have to be a lot tighter. But yeah, look, I think we'll definitely be competitive. And to be honest with you, Kieran, I'm really excited about getting going and getting into the middle of enjoying the season and getting into the middle of the games, taking fast. Sorry.
Yeah, I can see it in your face there. You're buzzing to get going with Drogheda this season. What was it about Drogheda that attracted you to the football club and made you decide to put pen to paper?
Well, I obviously met Tim before Christmas, and we went through a squad and what his plans were for this year and where he saw me in the plans. And to be honest with you, I was really excited about it. As I said to you already, it was like Dundalk in the early days. Like, he's a great squad there, and he was telling me about the players that he was bringing in, and I definitely thought I could see myself achieving more with Drogheda than I probably could have in any other Dublin club. So it was more of a challenge for myself, and I wanted to be a part of it. And obviously I spoke to Kieran or Connor, and you know Connor well yourself. He's a really enthusiastic chairman, and he has great goals for the club, and it's somewhere where I wanted to be involved. I didn't want to join any other club and just take off the years, go, boy, I want to achieve something, and I still want to achieve trophies at my age. And that hunger never leaves you. It becomes stronger, and that's exactly where I want to be. And Connor and Tim are very exciting people, and they've great goals for this club, and I definitely want to be a part of it.
I'm sure. I'm not going to push you to tell me names, but I'm sure there was plenty of clubs interested in bringing you to their team in the off season.
Yeah, I had a couple of options. Probably a lot more closer to home, but a football career is short, and I want to enjoy. I want to get the most out of it, and I want to, as I said, I want to achieve my goals, and I want to win more trophies, and I want to be a part of something, and feel a part of something. So Drogheda really stood out for me in the off season, and I definitely think it's going to be an exciting season.
And look, finally, we mentioned it earlier about pundits talking up certain teams and talking down other teams. I suppose one of the teams a lot of people are raising some question marks are Waterford. That's your first game, and it's the first game of the new season as well. It's going to be on the resuming Watch LOI service, so hopefully it'll be a good spectacle for everyone tuning in. But Waterford, there's a lot of new players coming in there on loans and from the lower leagues in England. Is it slightly difficult to know what you're up against on Friday night?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be unknown. You can do as much homework as you want about Waterford. We're not going to be 100% of what 11 are going to play, or we're not going to be sure of the players that are playing even. So it's up to us to make sure that we're right. We're fortunate enough to have the home fixture this time. So, we're looking forward to it. We have to be confident in our own game and enforce our own game on them. And hopefully we'll come out with a win, but we can't take them for granted. Definitely not.
Dan, it's been a pleasure speaking with you this afternoon. Best of luck with the new season.
No problem, Kieran. Thanks a million.
For our latest podcasts, video content and exclusive columns from Stephen Henderson, Connor Hoey and James Rogers, visit BetweenTheStripes.net.
Yeah, great to hear from Dan Massey on Between the Stripes LOA podcast. I'm sure he's going to have a fantastic season with Drogheda. Let's move on to the first live televised game of the new season. It's Rovers against Pats live on RTE2. And the champions taking on a Pats team who have recruited very, very well, John. But we know the tune on this one already. We don't want to get too excited about Pats, do we? But what's their general prospects going into this game?
You know, we do it every year, don't we? We get excited about Pats and then they fail to live up their promise. Certainly, you can't really go wrong with some of their signings. And everything says that they should have a decent season. So I can see them being in that similar mid-table affair again this year. Their signings themselves, you know, Mount is good, Coughlin, there's some really solid players, Sam Bone and... We talked about Paddy Barrett, and you tried to pronounce where he was signed from and everything last week. So, you know, some good signings there. I'll just be interested to see how they start. And they couldn't have got a tougher start going to Rovers. I fully expect a home win here. And I think Pats will be okay, but I don't expect them to pull up any trees in this one.
Just on their signings, John, a lot of the names you've mentioned there, Mountney, Bone, Coughlin, they're established names in the League of Ireland. So it's not as if they're bringing in players from outside. It should be quite easy and it should be a quick process, hopefully, for these players to settle.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, they've been here, done that in the League of Ireland. So, you know, I don't expect any issues, and they should be able to step into that team and do well from day one.
Gary, Rovers, I highly doubt they've suffered any sort of confidence setback from that result on Friday at the end of the day. It is a glorified friendly. The winners will always say it's a little bit more. The losers will always say it was a friendly. But they'll be eager to get off to a quick start here, Rovers, because they won't want question marks over confidence and things like that.
Yeah, no, I think I can't see past the Rovers win, to be honest. I fully agree with yourself there, John. We've been burned so many times, but particularly last year with Pats, I thought they were atrocious in the games that I saw them in. But I just don't think they'll have enough. And I appreciate that while the players that they've brought in have been, you know, deep in the league for a number of years, there's still a new surrounding, new management, young manager might be something that they're not used to. So I think... Paddy Barrett play with Stephen O'Donnell as well.
Yeah.
So there's a different dynamic going on there. So it mightn't just be as handy as, all right, lads, you're here 5 years in the league. Here's your sixth year and you play away. Like, so there is going to be a bit of a bedding in and settling going on, I think anyway, for a little while. And I don't think they're going to get any favours by playing Rovers away in the very first game. So, for the predictions, I think I'm going to put myself down as 2-0 Rovers.
It's a good point you make about Paddy Barrett, obviously having played under Stephen O'Donnell or played with Stephen O'Donnell, and John Mountney would have been the same. And we heard Vinnie Perth, I suppose, talk about that a little bit after he left Dundalk. Maybe that at times it was hard to the transition between being an assistant manager where maybe you're a little bit more friendly with the players going into the big job then as manager, and maybe you have to have a little bit more distance. You said it might just take a little bit while for some of the players that were familiar with the Stephen O'Donnell player Stephen O'Donnell to then become familiar and get a relationship with the manager, Stephen. So it's an interesting point you make there, actually. You're going 2-0 Rovers. I think it'll probably be a tight enough affair. I hope it's a good spectacle given it's the first live game of the year, but
I'd agree. I probably can't see past Rovers. I'll go 2-1 Shamrock Rovers. John?
I'm going 3-0 Rovers. I think they'll win this easily enough. You know, I think O'Donnell needs to get some good results at the start of the season, or else he could be a man under pressure quite quickly.
Yeah, I think me and Gary definitely had that discussion last week after you left us so abruptly on last week's show. But 3-0, I know they've burnt you in the past, but is that a little bit harsh?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so we're all going for Shamrock Rovers wins there. Let's move on to Finn Harps against Bowes. As we said on last week's show, everybody expecting Finn Harps to be absolutely fine this year in terms of survival, that they'll probably survive by a point, but that's more than enough for Ollie Horgan. He'll be happy with that, of course. He'll tell you that they're the favourites to be relegated. While Bowes have recruited very, very well, John, and they'll want to get a nice early 3 points on the board here to show that they can be genuine title contenders this season.
Well, it's the trip that no team wants to make first up, isn't it? That trip up to Finn Harps. And, you know, they're always, you know, I think they'll be quite sharp at the start of the season. You know, I think Harps have the tendency in the longer seasons to fade, but they should be pretty sharp to start off with. But this one, I can't look past the bit of class that Bohemians have brought in, you know, with the likes of Feely, Bastian Hiri, and we talked about, you know, Georgie Kelly and the likes last week. And I think they'll have a little bit too much for Finn Harps.
Yeah, Ollie's probably had them running up the mountains chasing the sheep. He'll probably have them in top physical condition, I'd imagine, for this one, John. It's a good point you make. They do sometimes fade towards the end of seasons. But they started quite well last year, Harps. They were very, very well organised, and I'd expect the same here. I think this will be a really tricky assignment for Bohemians. You mentioned Georgie Kelly. Just looking at their squad and the makeup of it, there could be a lot of pressure on him to get the goals. And we've seen at Pats last year, it didn't click for whatever reason. And if he's to have a slow start in the Bowes jersey, where are the goals going to come from?
I think he'll get a bit better service this season. You know, I think he's in a better team all round. It's going to be a bit more creative and give him more chances. So I fully expect him to get more goals than he did last season. And so that won't be too difficult. But, you know, I know what you're saying, because with the likes of, you know, Diddy Corcoran going, although again, he didn't play too much last season, you wonder where plan B would be.
If they've lost Danny Grant, of course, they've lost Mandreo, so two players that would have contributed from the midfield. So it's probably a slight and genuine concern that they might be just lacking that little bit of sharpness up front.
Yeah, they still have the likes of Keith Ward pulling the strings in midfield, so I think they'll be fine with it. But and we say, like we said last week, Bastian Hiri, if they sign the Bastian Hiri from a couple of seasons ago, he'd be a cracking player for them. So you create plenty in that team.
Give me your prediction, John.
I'm going to go for Bohemians, but it'll be close. 2-1.
2-1. Gary, over to yourself. Thoughts on this game?
I think it's going to be a lot harder for... I think Bowes are better on paper, but first game of the season heading up to Ballybuffet, I can think of nothing worse. So for me, it's going to be quite simple. I think it's going to be a nil-all draw.
And I'm going to follow you on that one, I have to say.
Yeah, Bowes are going to huff and puff, and the boys are going to do their level best. Bastian Hiri is probably going to have a great game. But I just don't see this early on in the season. It's a huge test for Bowes. Not from a defensive perspective. It's more from, can they break down a rugged, dogged, whatever other red team you can think of in Harps. Like, it's...
Yeah, you know, and what often happens when you're in a game like that and you have so much of the ball, and you said you're up against a rugged opposition, maybe they're making little tactical fouls here and there, and you get frustrated, and then all of a sudden you switch off a set piece or something, and you end up actually losing the game.
Oh, it's quite possible. I'm not sure if... I think Keith Long will have them well understanding of what this game is going to be about. So it's going to be a heavy-sided possession toward Bowes, and I think they'll huff and puff with creating some chances, but I just don't think they'll be able to pull it off. But I don't think they'll lose either. So I think a nil-all draw is definitely where I'm going there.
Yeah, and McGinley was absolutely fantastic last season for Hearts, and he might have a busy night ahead of him, but I think it'll be a 0-0 draw as well. So two of us going for draws there, me and Gary and John in the Bows camp for that one. Let's move on to Sligo against Dundalk. This game is on Saturday, as is the Hearts-Bows game and the Longford-Derry game. They're all 6 o'clock kickoffs, which is a little bit strange for me, because if you're sitting at home and you're a bit of a League of Ireland junkie like the three of us, you'd probably like to watch all three, but I suppose you have the option to watch back the other two. But let's move on to Sligo against Derry anyway. Sligo, decent recruitment in the off-season, John, whereas Dundalk, they've got the President's Cup win under them, and they also picked up the Jim Malone Cup as well, that win over Drogheda. So they'll be eager to get up and motoring and show they can be more consistent than they were last year. But a trip to Sligo was never easy on a Saturday night.
No, and we know Sligo, you know, they've recruited pretty well, like you were saying. They should be well set this season. I think I tip them to come third, certainly in third or fourth this season. I think they could well have a good season. And, you know, they're going to give Dundalk a tricky match to start with. I think Dundalk will be, they've a huge positive from having played that that match at the weekend, and a real good test out against Rovers. So they might just have enough to edge it, though.
I think from listening to you there, you feel it'll probably be a tight enough affair. I'd be along the same thinking. Gary, how do you see this game playing out?
I think Dundalk will have too much for them. I think, you know, fair play to Dundalk. They've won more cups than they probably have done in the last couple of years, and it only pre-season. But I think with this game, it's going to be difficult for Sligo. While it was only pre-season wins for Dundalk, that was still a very edgy, or not edgy, but more, a very competitive game for against Rovers there. So they'll be on the front foot. They'll be buoyed by that win, even if it was on penalties. You know, taking things into account, like they were down to 10 men and stuff like that. So I think they'll be on a high from it, and be able to get the win. It's not going to be easy for them, you know. Sligo came good in the latter part of last season, so they want to be, you know, keeping that going. And I think Dundalk will just edge it though, 1-0.
Yeah, I think Dundalk will edge it as well. I'm going to go 2-1. I've gone that way, I think, in three of the four games so far. But Dundalk, I think they proved their. Obviously, when we all think of Dundalk, we think of possession football, and we think of them scoring plenty of goals through players like Hoban, and obviously he's injured at the moment, but he will come in having good wingers like Michael Duffy, and creative players like McElhenney. But in that win in the President's Cup, they showed as well that they're quite decent defensive-wise in terms of organisation. They soaked up the pressure that Rovers had to offer. Now, I did say earlier that I felt Rovers were still playing a little bit within themselves, but still, 10 men, they got the shape right, they got themselves to penalties, and they won the cup as a result. So I think that's probably something Filippo has brought in, maybe. He probably looks a little bit more at the shape of the side than some people will realise. I know from listening to a couple of interviews with Dundalk players, he seems to be, and even speaking to Gary Rogers recently, he seems to be someone that likes to get the players on the pitch and do a lot of work on the shape and little technical things with them. So I think Dundalk will be set up well enough to win this game, and it'll probably end 2-1. But let's move on to the final game of this weekend. That's Longford against Derry City. John, I'm going to go to you first, and after this, we'll be hearing from Longford Town player Dean Byrne.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, because we've talked about Longford last week, and, you know, in every prediction I've seen, and every bookie, and everything on everybody's predicted tables, everybody has one thing in common, and that's Longford to finish bottom. Mm. So I'm obviously hoping, as a Town fan, we're going to book the trend. But if you're looking at the kind of games that Longford have to get something out of, I think it's the likes of this against Derry. Because for me, Derry I don't think they've really strengthened this season. I think they're going to have a tricky season. And this is kind of, you know, it's almost like a first up free hit, isn't it, for Longford?
I was writing a piece for the Town Match programme at the weekend, and I said, you know, Derry are a team that last season were playing in Europe, and were probably unlucky not to get through a round in Europe. And albeit the fact they struggled in the league, it shows the quality Longford are coming up against. It's a huge step up. People will say, oh, it's not that big of a step up from the top of the first to the Premier. But
when you think about it in that sense, that Derry were in Europe last year and the type of financial backing they have, it really is a huge step up for Longford Town. But at the same time, I think Longford could have been handed a much tougher opening fixture. I mean, this isn't a Shamrock Rovers or a Dundalk or a Bowes and Dalymount. It's Derry coming down to Longford off the back of a disappointing season. As you said, John, some of their signings we're not overly impressed with here. We could be proven totally wrong. And I was actually at the Derry City press conference yesterday with Declan Devine, who, to his credit, had some very, very complimentary things to say about Darragh Doyle and about Longford Town as a football club. And I asked him about a couple of the signings, and he made a very eye-catching comment when I asked him about Will Patching having not played a lot of football over the last years. He said Will Patching has the potential to be his best ever signing at Dundalk. He said from what he's seen, at Derry, I should say, from what he's seen of him in pre-season, he's been very, very impressed. He thinks Will Fitzgerald is another player that will really catch the eye. And he feels last year the reason Derry underperformed, he held his hands up and admitted it was his fault. He wasn't able to gel the team because of the COVID restrictions. He just felt the group never gelled, they never bonded. And he feels that the profile of player they've got this year, that they're going to be a much tighter knit unit. And he thinks the players like Patching and Fitzgerald will really come to the fore. I question him as well on the fact that if you take Parkhouse out of the team, whether there's going to be enough goals. He feels there is. He feels they'll get enough goals from midfield and even from the back line, from the likes of Danny Lupanu as well. So obviously Declan Devine's quite confident. But Gary, as I said there, we've got some question marks over some of the signings. This is probably a decent opening game for Longford to have, albeit still a very, very tough encounter for them.
Yeah, look, it's for any team that comes up through the playoffs, particularly the way Longford kind of faltered towards the end of the season regular last year, I think, you know, it's a big test for them, but it probably is the most palatable opposition at the moment, especially in my eyes. Really unimpressed with Derry last year. I was quite disappointed with them. And as we talked about last week, they really haven't strengthened fantastically, in my opinion. Yes, they brought in Parkhouse and stuff like that, but, you know, I'd still wonder where the goals are going to come from if he, you know, has a bad burger or whatever. He's not available and not going to play. And who's going to be there? Oh, yeah, that's grand. We have Mr. X. He's going to come in and bang in too. I just don't see it. So I think from Longford's perspective, it's at home, and we don't have to, you know, the players don't have to worry about heading up to the Brandywell or anything like that. So home fixture, I think from Longford Town social media, the pitch was looking in brilliant condition today. So hopefully it holds and the weather and stuff like that. So there's a lot of positives for Longford. I think Declan Devine is probably looking at a bit of pressure already before a ball is kicked.
Game
for him.
You might have seen actually online yesterday, Liam Coyle, legend of Derry City, he suggested in an article yesterday that if Derry don't get into Europe this year, Devine, his job could be up for the chop.
Yeah, well, like I'm not surprised by that at all. They had a rubbish season last year. You know, Declan there, as you said, has held his hands up and stuff like that. But oh, that's great holding your hands up, but that is also irrelevant, really. They need the results. And I think you mentioned that they were disappointed by the performance in Europe last year, but they need that again. That's where they need to be going. So I think, it's a huge test for Derry as well, because it's against a promoted team. If Longford do churn out 3 points, probably even a score draw or something like that, it'd be hugely positive for Longford, but it'd be way worse on a negative side for Derry, heading back up on the couple of buses or whatever way they come down. You know, I think it's going to be a long old journey back and go, geez, you know, we're looking at a young Longford team that kept a lot of their first division promotion winners. So, you know, Longford have improved and brought in some experience and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, Derry would be very disappointed without not coming away from Bishopsgate with 3 points. So I think it's all for Longford to play for. And I don't think they should have any fear about that game on Saturday.
Call it for us.
1-0 Longford.
Oh, brave. John, over to you.
Well, I haven't seen anything in pre-season to say 1-0 Longford. So I think the most optimistic I can get is a 1-1 draw, Kieran.
Yeah, and not that I don't think Longford can win this game. As I said, I was writing the piece the other day for the programme, and I was going through the Derry squad, and I put the tweet out, and I said in the tweet, this tweet probably will come back to bite me come 9 o'clock on Saturday evening, but looking at that Derry squad, there's nothing to be overly afraid of. I think the back four really have to deal with Parkhouse. He's already got a couple of goals in pre-season. He's clearly their main target man. They have to marshal him very, very tightly indeed. But I think if they can mark Parkhouse out of the game, or at least minimise his impact on the game as much as possible, I think it's very, very possible that Longford leave this game with a point in the bag. And that would be a fine start to the new campaign, because at the end of the day, it's going to be picking up 3 points against the likes of Drogheda, Finn Harps, maybe going away to someone like a Sligo and picking up the odd win here or there, and obviously Waterford as well. They're going to be the games for Longford that are going to come down to whether they stay up or not. If they can pick up points against the likes of Derry and the teams that are maybe in the middle half of the table, maybe teams like Pats when they come down to Longford, that might just be enough to keep Longford in the Premier, or at least into a playoff spot. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to follow John. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, just on that, I think like Derry are going to be down amongst the second half of the table. So this is a game for Longford. They need to be looking at the like of Derry. They're not, you know, by default or by any measure at this moment in time, I don't see how Derry are going to be in the top half of the table at all. So Longford need to be looking at this game. You know, you mentioned a few teams there. I think you nearly mentioned everyone in the league.
everyone, Barton, Dock and Rowan.
Yeah. But like, you know, this is a target for Longford. There's no major pressure. First game in the new division against Derry. Who
at the same time, obviously, Longford won't want to get thumped 3-0 here, because that would just absolutely shatter confidence first game up.
And Kieran, they have to go to Bowes next, and they could suddenly find themselves adrift very, very early on in the season unless they pick up points early.
Yeah, look, we've mentioned this. Yeah. We've mentioned these first six games an awful lot in recent times. The first six games, four of them at home. There's games against Finn Harps, and there's games against Drogheda, and obviously this first home game against Derry, a Derry team that maybe we're underestimating. But if their season plays out the way we think it does, then this is, as Gary said, a game Longford need to be targeting to pick up at least a point. So the start is going to be crucial for Longford if they're going to stay up, Gary.
Yeah, 100%. I was talking to one of your guest podcast hosts, Ethan, last night, and we were just saying exactly that. You know, while we wouldn't be targeting or looking at Bowes as much of a measure of our league position come the end of the year, you still want a positive performance. I'd be more annoyed about getting thumped against Bowes than I would be against Derry. I know that probably doesn't make a huge pile of sense, but I'd be looking at Derry as more towards our level at the moment. I could be completely wrong, but I think from the lack of improvement in Derry's team, the way they performed last year, I just don't see enough in them. And Longford are going to be looking at that. Right, if we need to finish eighth or ninth in a playoff position, we need to be looking at the teams that are going to finish fifth, sixth, seventh, and ninth and tenth, let's say. So Derry are going to be in sixth or seventh come the end of the year. That's just going to be it. So Longford need to be targeting this game and use that as to go, well, after two games, let's say Longford lose against Bowes, but at least we have 3 points that we got at home against Derry, and now we have another home game coming up as well. So I full faith in Longford that they'll come out with 3 points on Saturday.
Okay, so just to recap there, Gary going for a 1-0 Longford win, and myself and John both going for 1-1 draws. So I think if any of those outcomes play out on Saturday night, we would be happy enough here in BTS HQ. But before we go, we're actually going to hear from a Longford Town player, someone that played a huge role in the club's promotion to the Premier Division last season. That's, of course, Dean Byrne, and he joins us now on BTS. Now, Longford Town are set for their return to the Premier Division on Saturday night, 5 years away from the top level of Irish football, but they host Derry City at Bishopsgate on Saturday. And one of the Town players joins me now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. That's Dean Byrne. Dino, how's life?
All good, Kieran. Thanks for having me on.
So I know you've got one of your final training sessions tonight ahead of the game on Saturday. How do you feel the group is coming together ahead of that big game?
Yeah. So we'll train tonight and two or three more times then towards the end of the week, preparing for Saturday. The group is good. I think every player is literally champing at the bit to start on Saturday. And whatever team that it goes with, we'll be, each player in the squad will be happy to see everyone playing, like, you know. So we're looking forward to it. Every single player in this squad is excited and nervous at the same time as well, but really, really looking forward to Saturday game.
And look, touch wood, this is, you know, you've had a fairly straightforward pre-season for once. Well, actually, in saying that, you missed the first couple of friendlies, but that wasn't through injury or anything like that. But this time last year, you were just completing a pre-season, and then the very first game of the season, we all know you suffered that horror injury. So how do you feel your body has recuperated from that awful injury? You got back just in time for the playoffs last year. You played a crucial role, that famous winner against UCD. And now you've got almost a full pre-season under your belt. Do you feel you're almost at your peak condition now?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually, I think it's 2 or 3 days away from a year since I had the operation on it. And I probably now feel better than I ever have in my whole career, like sharpness-wise, physically-wise. The pre-season that I've got under the belt was a bit of a shaky one as well, but I still feel good, like, you know, with a spinning bike at home. So obviously I was at home for personal reasons and missed a couple of games, but I still kept on top of my walk, you know, the fitness walk. I feel really good. It's probably the best I've felt in years. And I'm really, really looking forward to this season. And hopefully I can show people what I can do in this league.
And you scored a brilliant goal against Galway, albeit in a defeat. And then you got a couple of goals in that 6-0 win against Cabinteely. So always good to get the eye in ahead of the new season.
No doubt. There's nothing better as an attacking player, any player, I'll tell you. There's nothing better than scoring goals for your confidence. Especially as a number 10 in the number 10 position. If you're scoring and creating, there's just no better feeling walking out the pitch knowing that you've done that throughout the game. Like, and the thing that I've brought into my game now this year, more so than ever, I think in the friendlies that I've played, is the hard work off the ball, which Dara has instilled in every single one of us. But as a number 10, you're nearly inclined to not work as hard as other players, like reserve and energy. But every player in the squad now is going to work their socks off from 1 to 11. Like, so, I think that's a big part of the game that you will see from me in the next couple of months.
Yeah, of course, that pressurising of the ball when out of possession was always something integral to the way Dara plays. Obviously, Longford are known as a team that like to get the ball down and play. But when you lose the ball, you have to go and get it back quickly to be able to have that much possession. So that's always been a big part of Dara's game. But that's going to be particularly important now, what you do off the ball in the Premier Division when you're coming up against the very best sides in this league.
No doubt about it. It's about staying switched on for 90 minutes, you know. One lapse of concentration and you're caught out, and that's like a domino effect through the rest of the team, because players are trying to do your job, and that leads to spaces being left open for obviously top quality players that we're going to be facing each week.
And there's huge amounts of competition in the team this year, particularly in the area you've described yourself there as a number 10. There's loads of players bidding for that position in the team, so you've got to be on your toes and you've got to hit the ground running if you want to be in this Town 11 long term.
Absolutely. We've recruited really, really top players. Obviously bringing Dobbsy back, we've brought in Callum Thompson, Connor Davis. You know, these are top players who are coming in, have been around the block actually for a while, like the likes of Connor. Like, they're still young, but they've employed their trade in the Premier as well. So it's competition can really only be healthy. Each player is pushing each other in training. I can see that constantly. Every single training session we're battling it out between each other in a healthy way. Like, you know, we're always striving for each other to do better. And every single player in this squad is going to be used throughout the season. I don't think any player is going to play every single minute of every game, you know. So we're looking forward to it. We're all challenging each other, but for the good of it.
And from a personal point of view, it's been a very, very quick rise to the top level for yourself. You were playing non-league football only, maybe 3 years ago?
Yeah, it was 3 years ago, playing with Hardwick. But obviously I've came in, I've done well, I've settled to the first division, you know. I always believed in my ability, as I've told you, on plenty of podcasts and whatever. It was just about adapting to a new style of play, and obviously the physical demands of playing League of Ireland football, you know. But we've enjoyed the journey, obviously with a few hiccups along the way with injuries and stuff, but I've really enjoyed it, and I've came on leaps and bounds as a player and a person. And this, I feel like this is the perfect point for me to be stepping into the Premier Division to show what I can do.
And what about this opening game on Saturday? Derry come into it off the back of, I think they'll admit themselves, a very disappointing 2020 season. There's been lots of incomings and outgoings in the dressing room there. So as a test, Derry City first game, how are you evaluating that?
Yeah, we're going to go into every game like giving so much respect to the opposition, because they're in the Premier Division for a reason, you know. Derry, to me, from the outside looking in, are a well-run club, and they're very professional. They're in a sort of period of transition, I think, at the minute, with bleeding through youth as well, like, you know, and bringing a couple of experienced lads in as well. But they'll always be a tough game, Derry, to any squad in the league, from Rovers down to the bottom, you know. They're a tough side, and we're relishing it. We really are. We're relishing it, and it won't be easy for them either coming to us, because we're ready to go for Saturday.
Mm. The first six games of the season for Longford look particularly crucial. A good start is probably very, very important if Longford are to stay in the Premier Division this year. Four of the first six are at home, and a couple of those games are against the likes of Drogheda, who have obviously come up with Longford, and against Finn Harps, who many are tipping to be down around the relegation places as well. So a good start, would you agree? It's absolutely key for Longford if they're to make a mark at this level.
Yes, absolutely it is. I think we need to get out of traps quickly. Pick up some points, whether it's one or three. We need points on the board sharp, and that gives you confidence going forward then, I think, and gives us belief that we can pick up points, whether it's one or three in each game that we go into. You know, we will. I know Darragh, I know what he's like. He wants to win every game, whether we're playing the best in the country or, you know, he wants to win every game. Johnny sets up as well to win every game. Like, so we go into Saturday looking to win. We go into every game this year looking to win, but we're smart as well in a way where we know we need to pick up points, so we need to manage games. You know, when things are not going for us, we need to manage games and realise we'll take a point here, or we can go for the three, like, you know. So, yeah, I think the four six games are pivotal to where we go this season.
And look, obviously there's huge excitement building for the league starting on Friday and then the Longford game on Saturday, but at the same time there's a little hint of sadness there as well, because most people know they won't sadly be able to attend these games, and there's no sight yet of when stadiums will reopen in any capacity. But Watch LOI thankfully is back, and for you as a player in particular, a young player that, as we mentioned, was playing non-league only a couple of years ago, it's a great platform for you to go and showcase your abilities now.
No doubt about it. The LOI TV thing that has come in now, I think I'm not even messing when I say this. I think every person in my area where I live, like, they want to buy it. They want to watch me. You know, it's a great thing. Like, when you come from a small populated area, like, you know, everyone is wishing you well, and obviously my whole family, they'll be purchasing it and be wanting to watch it. Obviously, my dad, he goes to every game with my little brother, you know, so it's tough for him not to be able to see it live. But he's looking forward to watching the games, and he's my biggest critic as well, so he'll be watching everything. But no, it really is. It's a platform for players who want to further their career and go far in whether it's in Ireland or across the water, you know. And the fact that a lot of players are coming on loan from England and stuff, I think it's going to broadcast it a lot to English teams, and, you know, there'll be a lot of watchful eyes on us, and hopefully we can stand out each week and see how far we can go from there.
Well, Dino, we're all looking really forward to seeing you play at the top level this season, and best wishes to all of the Longford players ahead of that game on Saturday.
Cheers, Kieran. Thanks very much.
Keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news and updates by following us on social media. Search for Between the Stripes on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net, or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
That was the thoughts of Dean Byrne ahead of that game at Bishopsgate on Saturday. But lads, that's pretty much episode 2 of series 5 wrapped up. I have to say, really looking forward to the games on Friday and Saturday night now. It's great to have it back.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping we had that great interview with Dean Byrne. I just hope for the likes of Dean, he manages to get a season in fully fit, because he's had some awful injury problems, hasn't he? So, for the likes of Dean, I hope he gets a fully fit season in. But really looking forward to it, Kieran, and can't wait to be back next week and analysing these performances.
Yeah, and of course, Garrow, you've got the first division starting the week after that as well. So we'll be looking ahead to those games in full and bringing interviews from some of the big figures in the first division. But any closing comments from yourself before we go tonight?
No, not really. It was just nice to hear from Dean there. As John alluded to, he had an awful season last year. I know he said in a couple of interviews, and he was dead right that COVID was a blessing for him on a pure football note, of course. So I was delighted to see him put his mark on the season last year. And it's just a reward for a player like him to be looking into a Premier Division season fully fit and being able to put his mark on it. So, look, I always think Longford Town are going to do well, no matter how many times they're going to let me down. But I just hope that we'll be sitting here next week and I'll be looking at Longford Town with 3 points beside their name.
Yeah, and of course, as we touched on in the interview, it's only 3 years ago he was playing non-league with Hardwick, and we kind of touched on it on last week's show as well. Players that have come from the Leinster Senior Leagues and the like down the years at Longford and done really, really well. And hopefully Dean Byrne now can showcase his talents to the nation. And of course, we've got Aaron Robinson as well coming from Bluebell, who we're all getting excited about in the pre-season as well. But look, we'll be recapping all the action on next week's show from the Premier. We'll be looking ahead to the First Division games. And as ever, we'll bring you the very best in biggest name interviews here at Between the Stripes LOI podcast. But for tonight, from Kieran, John and Gary, that's our lot. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.